Good morning, and thanks for joining us on Get Connected. Today on the show, a nationally recognized expert to explain how sufficient sleep and success go hand in hand. We'll talk about ways to improve your sleep to achieve maximum performance with Dr. William Brown. He's a sleep psychologist at Children's Medical Center in Dallas and co-author of the book, Sleeping Your Way to the Top, How to Get the Sleep You Need to Succeed. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this.
The book is a collaboration between certified clinical sleep educator, registered nurse Terry Crowley, and sleep psychologist Dr. David Brown, interpreting the latest research on sleep and offering the strategies for improving sleep to enhance career and personal success. So let's go straight to the question, because people say, I need 5 hours, I need 12 hours. For most of our lives, Dr. Brown, how much sleep do we actually need?
Well, let me talk about adults. The amount of sleep people need does seem to follow a bell curve, meaning not everyone needs the same amount. There are natural short sleepers, people like Thomas Edison and John Kennedy, and there are natural long sleepers. Albert Einstein said he couldn't do math without 10 hours of sleep per night. But the vast majority of us fall within a fairly narrow range of around 7 to 8 hours. It does vary by age. Teenagers need a little over 9 hours of sleep per night, and children, it could be the 10 to 14-hour range. But a new study by the National Sleep Foundation came out with their recommendations, and basically they found that the range between 7 and 9 hours is where the vast majority of us reside. Many of us want to be short sleepers, but there are actually very few natural short sleepers in this world.
And as you know, everybody always wants to claim they're the exception to the rule. There is one particular person at the moment who just happens to be all over the news who talks about being the most productive by sleeping the least amount of time. Can you train yourself to sleep less?
Well, I think that there are natural short sleepers, and Donald Trump may in fact be a natural short sleeper. People think they can train themselves to do this, but the evidence is to the contrary. So, for example, a lot of people say, well, I get 6 hours of sleep, but I function pretty well during the day, so I must have adapted to this. But David Dinges at the University of Pennsylvania did a study where he took people and one group stayed up for 2 nights, no sleep whatsoever. One group got 4 hours, one group 6 hours, one group 8 hours. And everybody that got less than 8 hours of sleep per night began to show impairments. And after 1 to 2 weeks, even those people getting 6 hours of sleep per night had an impairment level equal to the person that didn't sleep at all for 2 days. And it was continuing to get worse. But what Dinges did is he also asked them, how do you think you're doing? And everybody thought they were doing fine, even though they were as impaired as the people that weren't sleeping at all. So the point is that we do not adapt to shorten sleep times, but we end up fooling ourselves, saying, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, even though I'm getting by with less sleep than I think I need. So I don't think most of us can really adapt to it. The only way to really make up for it is to do it, to get sleep on a consistent basis.
And what you're saying about that study, in a way, it reminds me of those studies about people who have one drink and two drinks. You don't really know that you're impaired until you do a study when you're sober. Is there a connection between drinking and sleep, or, you know, the similar effects of drunkenness?
Absolutely. That's a great question and a great observation, because it is very much the same. So there was another study done in Australia where they took two groups of people. One group got to sit and drink alcohol. The other group had to stay awake. And they compared them on a variety of tests. But what they found is when the sleep-deprived group had been awake 24 hours, they had an equivalent impairment level as a 0.1 blood alcohol level. That's legally intoxicated almost everywhere. And this was simply by sleep deprivation alone. The other side of that coin, though, is that modest sleep deprivation will potentiate the negative effects of alcohol. And so one scenario in this country is we don't get enough sleep during the work week, and then we go out Friday night for happy hour. Well, you know, two beers becomes the equivalent of four, and if you normally could tolerate alcohol pretty well. If you're the least bit sleep deprived, it's going to double the functional impairment level.
There's something interesting you mentioned in the book, too, about the chronic, you know, the chronic problem of lack of sleep. It affects your ethical thoughts, your attitude. Politicians get on average 5.1 hours of sleep a night. How does that, you think that relates to the larger problems we have now, perhaps?
Well, I think it does affect things. You know, if, and again, this is chronic partial sleep deprivation we're talking about, that people are sleeping every night, they're just not getting an adequate amount of sleep. But over a period of time, that partial sleep deprivation does lead to all of the problems of complete sleep deprivation. And I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who's been awake 24 hours, but you know they laugh at stuff that really isn't very funny, and they start crying at the least sad thing available. They look like they are intoxicated. And we now know that things like even modest sleep deprivation increases our risk-taking. You know, if you're going to go gamble, probably get as much sleep as you can because you're going to take fewer chances. And it impairs our judgment. And again, we don't even know that we're impaired when we're doing this.
The book is Sleeping Your Way to the Top, How to Get the Sleep You Need to Succeed. It's a collaboration between certified clinical sleep educator, registered nurse Terry Crawley, and Dr. David Brown. He is a sleep psychologist at Children's Medical Center in Dallas and our guest on Get Connected today on 106.7 Light FM. I'm Nina Del Rio. So with the second part of the interview, let's talk about getting better sleep, how to reverse all these issues we're having. If you haven't had enough sleep, people will say, I'll make it up on the weekend. Can you do that?
Sleeping in on the weekend does help. I mean, if you are sleep deprived, you are going to make up a little bit. You will feel a little bit better. But a study done by Tom Wuhr from the NIH took healthy young men. They had no sleep problems. They were averaging 7.5 hours of sleep per night. And what he did is he forced them to be in bed in a dark room 14 hours a day, every day for a month. That's a tough experiment. But what they found is these healthy young men who did not have a sleep problem almost immediately started sleeping around 11 or 12 hours. And it took them 3 solid weeks, 21 days, before they plateaued at 8 hours and 15 minutes. Now, these young men were only sleep deprived by about 45 minutes per night, but it took a solid 3 weeks before they got back to baseline. So while sleeping in on the weekend will help, you're not going to get back to baseline. And again, in many ways, we're fooling ourselves that, okay, I caught up on weekend, I'm going to start Monday morning at 100%. Well, you're not starting Monday at 100%. And there was another study by Charles Seisler that took people that were chronically sleep-deprived, and they caught up over a weekend, but then they got sleep-deprived again the following Monday. In fact, their impairment level was much worse than somebody who had only been acutely sleep-deprived. So the reason for that seems to be that the way our brain works, we change our receptors in the brain. With chronic conditions, those receptors increase or decrease. And then when they get re-exposed to a challenge such as sleep deprivation, they're hyper-reactive.
Napping. What's the most useful way to nap, and is it really beneficial?
Naps are fantastic, and there is a big literature on napping and the positive effects of napping. So one or two nights of short sleep, yeah, you will do fine. I mean, if you get 6 hours tonight, you need 8 hours. You'll be able to function the next day. And if you're only getting one or two, yeah, you can catch up for that. Now, you mentioned the dip in functioning in the early afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That dip between 2 and 4 in the afternoon is actually circadian or biologic. It really doesn't have anything to do with a heavy meal or a warm room. In fact, a lot of cultures are designed around this. That's what the siesta is. We tend to adopt the English model in this country, which is we put tea time right there to try to get us through. So there's a natural dip between 2 and 4, but you should not be falling over dead at your desk every time between those hours. You should just notice that your functioning is not quite as sharp. But an interesting finding is that accidents don't happen randomly. There are two huge peaks of accident occurrence. They tend to occur between midnight and 6 a.m. and between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, and it corresponds exactly with the tendency for humans to fall asleep. Now, there's several ways to nap. You've heard of the power nap, so a 20, 30-minute nap is recuperative. It does recharge your batteries. It may not, if you're really sleep-deprived, may not keep you awake as long as a longer nap would. But the problem with a longer nap, like an hour or two-hour nap, even though that's ultimately more recuperative, if you go back into stage three sleep, which is a very deep sleep stage, it's very hard to wake up out of that. You feel disoriented. It's hard to clear your mind. And it takes about 45 minutes after a long nap before you really feel up to yourself. So that's why a fairly brief nap is so recuperative. It recharges our batteries enough that it may get you safely home. It may get you through the afternoon meetings. And there are a number of health benefits that are conferred by that. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of napping.
Me too. However, for a lot of people listening us at this time, the interview is airing, they're shift workers, people who work overnights or they work alternating hours during the week. What's the best way to maintain a healthy schedule if your hours are midnight to 6 or 3 days a week you work that sort of schedule?
Okay, so shift work is difficult. There's just no easy way to say that. As humans, we are probably night sleepers. And so the shift worker is trying to function when their body wants to be asleep, and then they try to sleep when their body wants to be awake. We can clearly demonstrate that a shift worker, when they sleep during the night, compared to themselves when they sleep during the day, sleep about 2 hours less during the day than at night. We can change circadian rhythms. That's what's creating the problem with shift work. If you know about jet lag, if you fly to Europe, you're awake all night, you sleep all day.
Yes.
But if you stay in Europe, everything will equilibrate. But that never really quite happens with the shift worker because all of the environment is still geared for them to sleep at night. If you get off of your nighttime shift and the sun is up, and your eye sees that sun, you've just reset your clock back again. And many shift workers do revert back to a nighttime sleep schedule when they're not working. And so their physiology stays in this constant state of flux where they are never in any particular zone. So we do things like split sleeping. Some people will go home in the morning and they will sleep 4 or 5 hours. They will then get another couple of hours before they go in at night. Or we do things like, even when they are not working, that they keep part of their sleep cycle the same. So rather than stay up all night, you know, they would maybe go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and sleep till noon, so that there's always some overlap between their work schedule and their off schedule. Now, there is no taboo. I mean, I would never call you at 2 o'clock in the morning to say, hey, how you doing? What's up? But there's no such taboo with a shift worker. Even knowing people worked last night, people will call them in the middle of the day. You need to keep the environment as quiet as possible and as dark as possible. Use blackout curtains. Use white noise generators to cover up just all the sounds during the day, and try to keep telephones out of the room because people are going to call you during the day. There's a number of challenges, but there are some techniques that can help.
We'll have to leave it there, but there is so much more in the book about sleep apnea, insomnia, caffeine and sugar, and other things keeping us awake. In Sleep Your Way to the Top, How to Get the Sleep You Need to Succeed, a collaboration between certified clinical sleep educator and registered nurse Terry Crawley and sleep psychologist Dr. David Brown. Thanks for joining us on Get Connected.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.